to On the Box, the Geek Show's dedicated show about all things television. Cue discussion about how it's awkward that we're a radio show about TV.
Actually, I wasn't going to go there today. I'm just too happy.
Oh, yes, because of the E3 news.
Yes, the E3 news that Shenmue 3 is going to be a thing, and it's happening, and it's already almost funded, and I'm so excited.
It's been a long time.
There is a god, and Yu Suzuki is his name.
Yes, enough of that nonsense, because we're not a video game show, we're a TV show.
I know.
Are you sure?
I know. I'm just really happy. I've been waiting 14 years for the story to finish, and I might have to wait a bit longer, I know, but the fact that there's light at the end of the tunnel and it's not a flamethrower this time is what's making me happy.
Your whole experience with just men standing with flamethrowers at the end of tunnels?
Generally, where my hopes are concerned, yes. It's usually some burly guy called, like, Jeff or something like that.
Or Jeb.
Yeah, or Jeb. One time he was called Craig, but it wasn't this Craig.
Which really brings into, who is we? I'm Andrew.
I am Rob.
And I'm Craig.
Not holding a flamethrower. Shenmue 3 is happening, and I'm happy. And it makes me very happy. And all you Final Fantasy fans can go suck an egg, because I am the happiest.
So I was going to be worried until you reached that last word there.
Well, let's what is it? I was watching some of the reactions to the announcements on E3 from the conferences, just going through like the different reactions. And the one that got the most reaction, the one that actually had people crying and hyperventilating and telling Christy to, saying, Christy, don't talk, because that was hilarious.
That
was Shenmue. Didn't happen for Final Fantasy, didn't happen for The Last Guardian, didn't happen for any of the Xbox announcements or the Ubisoft stuff the Bethesda stuff or anything like that. Only happened for Shenmue 3. And everybody suddenly went,
That was probably just because it came out of nowhere. I mean, people knew that there was going to be
Rumours about it for decades.
Yes, welcome to BitPanel, the geek show's dedicated show to video games.
It's not BitPanel, but I just want to get this off my chest and share it with you guys. It's been rumoured for over a decade that there is going to be a Shenmue 3 game, and we've waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. You know, and so there's always been, every time E3 comes around, there's always these rumours, they're going to announce Shenmue 3 this year. And the fact that they've actually announced it now is, I don't understand why this wasn't like news on TV, but we'll come to that later on, because we are going to be talking a little bit about E3 and other things like E3. Later on.
Yes, we are. And well done for like turning that long rambling monologue into like actually something relevant to the show.
Yes, I did. And I'm patting myself on the back for that now. Anyway, what have we got in the news this week?
Okay, we have got... Okay, first of all, Kay Burley. Her interview with the head of Alton Towers has been cleared by Ofcom. So Kay Burley, she is a presenter for Sky News recently. Interviewed the boss of Alton Towers, Nick Varney, regarding the crash of the Smiler roller coaster, and it received a whole bunch of complaints about how very leaded it was. And she came off as being incredibly aggressive and kept pushing him for like details over whether or not one of the people in the accident had lost a limb or not.
That's kind of grim, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And to be honest, I'm not surprised, because Sky News, they seem much more focused on just, we need ratings, who cares about quality?
I think Sky News are the British version of Fox.
They really are, aren't they?
No, they're not. They deny the existence of that link.
I bet if you go over there with some, you know, paint thinner and you just rub on their sign really hard, it just says Fox behind it.
I did not like the hand action you were given there.
You're so dirty-minded.
You're the one who said rub on their sign and then made that hand action, not me.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, yes, so Kay Burley has been cleared.
Yes.
Why was she cleared?
Let's see. Basically, just in their opinion, it still falls within kind of the acceptable standards of an interview.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
That's kind of news to me.
Basically, they're kind of position is the interviewee was able to respond fully to the questions and put his position across. So it's not a led interview.
I see. Okay. All right. Okay. So that makes sense then. Right. Okay. Moving on. What have we got next?
We have got Horror Channel News.
Ooh.
They are going to be paying tribute to Christopher Lee with a movie marathon of some of his kind of, well, the cheesy Hammer horror roles.
Fantastic.
Yes. It's going to be on July the 2nd, and we'll start with The Devil Rides Out at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Followed by Dracula, Prince of Darkness.
Yep.
Followed by Scars of Dracula. And finally, To the Devil a Daughter.
Fantastic. Actually sounds like a good night. Because, yeah, there might be cheesy and Hammer horror, cheesy Hammer horror movies, but, you know, get some popcorn in, get some mates round, some pizza, maybe a few drinks, have a Hammer horror night. Why not?
It's Christopher Lee. Like, there is no role he can do badly in.
Have you noticed as well, Christopher Lee, as he grew older, started having, like, the most amazing voice. His voice was amazing. Can you imagine Christopher Lee as a sat-nav?
Yes!
If you remember any of the monologues that he did as either Dracula or Count Dooku or, you know, as Saruman or something like that, just that deep, sonorous baritone, you know, bassy baritone type voice, and he's like, my God, you have the most amazing voice.
He was a delight to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like Brian Blessed's, where it's just this big, booming voice you can hear from the moon. You know, it was kind of the... he was the Barry White of the film world, wasn't he?
He was, and the Barry White of the heavy metal Christmas Carol world.
Yes, I know. That was just amazing. It was only about, what, a month ago as well, wasn't it?
It was like around about last Christmas. He didn't release, Christmas Carols in, like, you know, March or something like that.
No, I heard he did something about 2 months ago, a month or 2 months ago, musically as well.
Yeah, quite possibly.
But, yeah, he did have a lot of fun with that.
He did.
Yeah. If you're wondering what we're talking about, I think a bit of clarity about this might be good, Andy.
Oh, well, just last Christmas... Christopher Lee released an album of heavy metal Christmas carols. And that's all you need to know. Go out and listen to it.
Yes. Because they are all kinds of awesome. Right, okay, moving on from Christopher Lee, from the death of a brilliant actor to the death of a favourite character. Not my favourite character, but quite a few other people's favourite character.
Yeah, Jon Snow, he dead.
Yeah, he know nothing now. Do you know, it's weird, because you know everyone was going around saying, you know nothing, Jon Snow. He only gets told that once, if I recall.
Oh, no, he gets told it, like, quite a few times.
As far as I know, he only gets told it once.
No, in the show, it's at least, like, two or three times by Ygritte and once by Melisandre.
I only remember her saying it to him once.
No, I'm sure it's more than one. Like, it became like a kind of catchphrasey thing.
No, I think it became a catchphrasey thing because it just sounded cool.
Yeah, but it's Game of Thrones. Like,
yeah,
they love their catchphrases. They will hammer them home.
Sorry, like, I've just got this mental image of, you know, George R. R. Martin's keeping Roy Walker in a cupboard somewhere. Just wheels him out going, say what you see. Sorry, I didn't mean to. It just kind of happened. But yeah,
watch the fourth eyes trapped into the floorboard screaming, it's nice to see you nice.
Yes, higher, higher, lower.
No, Bruce Forth, he operates George R. R. Martin's personal elevator.
Yes. Craig doesn't know what to make of us. See, Craig's normally on, like, bit panel. He's been on The Geek Show a couple of times.
And he's used to the normal national shows.
He's used to the quite staid and, you know, procedural shows where they have some kind of structure. And, you know, there's a bit of normalcy about it. he hasn't been exposed to the sheer wildness of Andrew.
That I am a crazy man of the North.
Yes. And the look on your face says it all, Craig.
Yeah, I think that if there was an expression that's just face palm, I think I had it on my face right there.
Yes, you had no need for palms in your face. Your face was enough there. Anyway, Jon Snow is dead, and fans have been reacting all over the world to the death of Jon Snow, who died in quite odd circumstances. People didn't like what he was doing and decided to kill him. Because apparently,
that's how democracy works.
Yeah, apparently they had a different ideology and all of them are good people, which is why they decided to kill him. I'm not following this. So, he's a good person, trying to do good things, but they're good people as well, trying to do good things. They have differing ideologies, but they're following him for some reason, because they chose to follow him. And when they no longer agreed with his version of what was right, they decided to kill him.
Yeah, I feel like there could have been, like, more of a sit-down process involved.
Yeah, could they not just have kind of gone, well, you know, so long, thanks for all the fish, you know, we'll part ways as friends. You can keep the dog.
Or maybe at the very worst, it's just, Mr. Snow, we dislike what you're doing with the position, I think we're going to have to let you go.
Yeah. Sorry, we don't want to go with you. But why? Because we don't agree with you. I don't see why we have to die for your family troubles.
Well, no, it's more that, like, he took all, like, the wildlings who were north of the wall, and was like, but what if we put them south of the wall, where we are?
Yeah.
Which kind of made sense with the whole, oh, hey, there's, like, zombie ice monsters coming, let's all fight them together.
Yeah.
But people were none too fond of the plan.
That's because people are stupid.
Yes, and Jon Snow is a bad leader.
Well, yeah, he wasn't trained to lead. He's trying to just be like the shameful remembrance of his father's misdeeds. That's what he was. He wasn't given lessons in how to be a leader. That went to Robb Stark and the rest of them.
Well, no, so Jon Snow was also, like, trained in the same environment.
He was trained in the same environment to be subservient to the rest of the Starks because he wasn't officially a Stark. That's why his surname is Snow.
I guess so.
You know, he's just there as a reminder that that Eddard Stark once cheated on his wife, and no one can ever take that away from him. So yes, anyway, Jon Snow is dead, and Game of Thrones, in the process, also managed to break its own piracy record.
Yes, well done, Game of Thrones.
And how That's kind of a drop the mic and walk away moment right there. We are that good, we broke our own piracy record. Let's see you have that, big brother.
Yes, it is something impressive, like, to set, like, the world record for the most pirated show and then break it.
Yeah. Apparently, Mother's Mercy, the finale to season 5, was downloaded 1.5 million times in the 8 hours following the US premiere.
That's quite impressive.
Yeah, I think it's a fairly popular show.
That's what, 180,000 times an hour it was downloaded? That's ridiculous. That's, 180,000 times an hour, if you divide that by 60. So that's, 30,000 times a minute?
It's kind of like one of those numbers where, like, your brain can't really process it.
I mean, I can understand downloading something, like, you know, somebody watching something maybe, you know, once every, you know, maybe 5 people watch it an hour. Maybe 10 people watch it in an hour. But when you start saying it's been downloaded 30,000 times a minute, that's when you start hitting, like, ridiculous levels.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, it's the point where, like, your brain's just like, no, I can't even, like, comprehend that large a number.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is because of how stupid TV is in general. Like, not like... Yeah. Because, like, stuff gets released in America, then you have to wait 8 months for it to come out over here.
Yeah.
Or something stupid like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well, if you've got, like, it's a day, but that's an entire day.
Yeah, where everything's spoiled online anyway. And then, like, they need to work on that because it's... you know, free information age. We kind of need to.
I don't understand why we have this delay in the information age. Yeah, why do we have this delay?
We have the technology to out at the same time.
I mean, simulcasting is a thing. It's a real thing. Who? I know.
I mean, yeah, I can maybe understand. Yeah,
why is it that they can get Doctor Who at the same time as us, but we can't get Game of Thrones at the same time as them, or any other or half the other TV shows at the same time as them?
I mean, something I can understand, like, a degree of time difference, just because we're in different time zones. It's like, obviously, you don't want to be, like, airing your new episode of Game of Thrones.
You know what? I think
5 in the morning.
A lot of it is because the UK is still considered Europe, and they have to localise for Europe before they release. So, French, English, French, German, Spanish, you know, that sort of stuff. And because
they don't need to localise for us.
They don't, but because we're Europe... Yeah, that was inverted commas there. You can't see that.
Yeah, I know. I do that all the time.
Which is stupid, because, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can just send it directly to us.
Yeah, just open up your video on demand services for everyone. Just stop being, like, why has Netflix got two different things? I mean, yes, there's, what was it, The Thing?
Oh, yes, The Thing with the stuff.
No, do you know what it is? Do you know what I think it is? I think it's because of the American education system.
Licensing things.
I think it's the American education system.
We own it, so we own it.
No. I think it's the American education system because I've actually heard this said. You know, in an actual discussion show, I've heard kids say this. This is no word of a lie. Why should I learn English when I'm an American? Surely I should be being taught American.
See, this is a very good argument for why we should just have the Empire back.
Yes. It's like, I don't know how to process that statement.
It's just sometimes an argument is just so stupid you can't even formulate a response.
Yes. It literally was one of those moments where my brain shut down just from the sheer stupidity of other people. So yes, anyway, moving on from one stupid thing to something that actually on the surface... it might be early to judge, but it seems like a bit of a bad idea. A reboot of the Fame TV series.
Yes, because the remake of the film did so well.
Yes, I know. I'm not sure this is a good idea. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, no, I completely disagree. I am 100% certain this isn't a good idea.
What do you think, Craig? A TV show about people dancing... about Fame Academy, about kids learning to dance. When they did a remake of the movie, it tanked. They want to do a reboot of the TV series.
I don't care. I would not watch it. And like, this is coming. I'll be honest. I haven't owned a TV for like 6 years.
That's fine.
I watch.
You're on the right show then.
I watch what I want to watch when I want to watch it. And then on the off chance, I'll be like browsing iPlayer or Netflix.
That's because you're a TV punk, aren't you? I do what I want when I want.
Well, yeah, because like, I don't want to sit down and watch, you know, Antiques Roadshow.
I'm going to sit down.
Yeah, the man can't keep me down. I'm going to watch Antiques Roadshow when I want to.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to sit there in me denim and me leather with me hair spiked up and watch it whenever I want.
I think you mean onesie.
Yeah, onesie.
And on the sofa with a big bag of popcorn. And
denim I'm just onesie. Sat there. Oh, my God, a denim onesie.
I'm just sat there continually... I like, you know, marathoning Storage Hunters because for some reason I thought that was a good idea.
What?
Yeah, I've done that. Just lying down with snacks watching Storage Hunters.
Fight the system.
I kind of get what he's saying because Storage Hunters, baggage battles, that sort of thing. I don't know why they're so addictive, but you start watching one and you end up watching like loads at once.
Yeah.
They're actually kind of scary how addictive they are.
They're like, what was it? You know the ones where you can't just have one of them. You end up just macerating most of the packet.
Jaffa cakes.
Yeah, Jaffa cakes. That's
most
it.
Chocolate.
Jaffa cakes in particular. Jaffa cakes are the worst for that. Because you just go, I'm just going to have one.
Okay, I swear to God, they just keep putting less in the packets.
For me, it's Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Because you have like one scoop and you think, this would be... Oh, where's it gone?
Exactly. They're so small. It's just... That they need to be bigger so that I can restrain myself, by which I mean eat more ice cream.
They have solved it. They've got ones now with, like, cores of stuff where it's so sickly you can only eat about half before you get...
Oh, that's sneaky.
Yes, yes, yes. But yeah.
They're so good.
Jaffa Cakes, bad. They're worst. They're the worst because I've done it. It's been one Jaffa Cake. And then it's literally been... I've only recalled eating the first Jaffa Cake. And then after that, I'm like, what happened to all the Jaffa Cakes? This was a fresh box. Oh, damn, I'm in so much trouble.
How did all these chocolate stains get around my mouth?
Not going there. Right, so yeah, Fame. Fame being rebooted as a TV series, not a good idea. I mean, most people aren't interested, as you said, Craig, because there's so much better stuff available at the moment.
What they should do is they should get all the original cast from Utopia and then carry that on.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, the other thing that they could do is kind of look at what people want. I mean...
I hate you, Channel 4.
People watch Strictly, right? Loads of people watch Strictly. Yeah. Loads of people watch Strictly Come Dancing. But the reason why they watch it is basically because the celebrities are actually working hard to learn these dances, which they didn't know before. They're actually putting in the effort. It's one of the reasons why I put Strictly to one side on the reality TV scale.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Fame TV series, it maybe could have worked a few years ago when, like, X Factor was in its heyday.
Well, not just that, it could have worked...
I was going to say,
when the Step Up films were doing well, it could have worked around that time because it would have been right in the crest of that wave.
Yeah.
But right now, if you're talking about... if they were going to do, like... Because Glee was riding the crest of a specific wave as well. You know, in terms of the whole singing competition, it came around the time of X Factor being quite popular and Britain's Got Talent and, you know, America's Got Talent, stuff like that. But now, all of that's died a death. Nobody really cares.
I think the only thing that's really done well out of it now is Pitch Perfect, but that's because it's more funny than...
Well,
Pitch Perfect is a comedy.
You know, Pitch Perfect is a comedy, and what's her face? So who's the blonde lass?
Bevel Wilson.
Yeah, the chunky one. She's hilarious.
The extra fun-sized one.
Yeah,
Patricia.
She's really funny. Did you watch Night at the Museum 3?
No.
Because she's in that. She plays the security guards on the British Museum, and she starts having a thing for, like, the prehistoric version of, what's-his-face, Ben Stiller. He's like a prehistoric version of him who looks a bit like him because he's been modelled on him. And he's like, a prehistoric version comes to life, starts calling Ben Stiller dad, and falls in love with this, with this blonde woman who's a security guard at the British Museum. He's like, why are you staring at me? Why are you staring at me? Am I that attractive? I'm supposed to be arresting you. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not.
So basically she really wants to jump those bones.
Yes, she does, even though those bones are fake. Back to Fame. I don't think it's a good idea.
No, it's going to be a complete failure.
It's going to be a train wreck. It really is. This is a prediction that we are making, but I think we're quite adept at making these kinds of predictions.
Yes, and if you don't like it, Cast of Fame, there's a very long queue you can join.
Yes.
Of people who want to do us great deals of harm.
Speaking of ridiculous ideas, there's a new there's a new quiz show that started on the BBC, and its first show got 3 million viewers, and I think that number is only going to drop. It's called Prized Apart, right? Now, the idea is that you basically take two teams. One of them is in the studio. The other one is somewhere in the world. I don't know where. And they basically have a quiz show and challenges in order to win money, I think. Or maybe they just need to be reunited with their loved ones. I don't know what it is. It's, like,
it's basically like the ones are taken off and like dropped in downtown Kazakhstan and like have to make their way back to England.
Yes.
Which, before I say that, that sounds like an awesome game show. I'd watch that.
But, I mean, they're not exactly in a war zone, but, you know.
No, it's like they go to the desert and, like, they have to climb
complete challenges
and stuff
like
that.
And you're like, well, hang on. I'm not sure what's going on here, but it seems like you're holding their other half hostage and forcing them to answer these questions, otherwise you won't return them home. Am I missing something, BBC?
I think we keep accidentally making this game show even better than it is.
Am I missing something, BBC?
I want to watch it now because of the way you've explained it, but it probably isn't as good as that.
No, I don't think it's as good as that. I'm just thinking, it just seems like that because they keep you know when they do all the dramatic editing for stuff? They keep doing that with it. Like, it doesn't need the dramatic editing. You've basically separated a family and put one of them half a world away, and you're forcing the other one to answer questions, and questions. And the one that you've taken half a world away, they have to do challenges. And what happens if they fail?
Then they are fed to the Rancor.
It could be. We don't know.
Maybe they just, juice them up and feed them to Bruce Forsyth to keep him alive.
Hiya!
That's not just Bruce Forsyth raises from his coffin and just, like, drains the life force from them.
Pretty much that's what I was thinking. They just, hurry,
And when he raises from his coffin, does he go, nice to see you, to see you?
Well, funnily enough, he did actually have to have a special coffin made because of the pose. He's stuck in that most of the time.
Quality.
Well done.
Right, moving on. A couple of interesting documentaries are being made by BBC. The first one is a music documentary about Daft Punk. It's being made by BBC France, and it's going to have guest appearances from the likes of Kanye West, who just gets around everywhere.
I don't think they actually asked Kanye West on the show. He just rocked up one day and
he just turned up going, hello, I'm Kanye West. You know, I can be on your show.
Kanye West speak English very best?
No, Kanye West is from the West Country. Hello, I'm Kanye West. I can be on your show.
I'm offended by that.
What?
Kanye West? I'm from the West Country.
Well, it's in his name, you know. Yeah, Kanye West.
No.
I didn't do a proper West Country accent, as you know. I had far too less vowels. I had far too few vowels in there.
Yeah, you need the twang as well.
Yes.
But what were we talking about?
Kanye West.
So who else on this show that we're doing Farrell, racist accents of?
Farrell Williams is going to be on there, Nile Rodgers, Giorgio Moroder, Todd Edwards, Pete Tong, and more are going to appear on the Daft Punk Unchained documentary. And it's basically all about our favourite two Chrome Domes who have been remixing music since the mid-90s. So, yeah.
Yeah, should be good, because the BBC, they can definitely do really good music documentaries.
Yes, I think BBC4 have pretty much cornered the market in music documentaries. I don't know of any other channel, including the famed MTV, that does better music documentaries than BBC, yeah, which is weird.
Come on, Rob, MTV doing something about music. What kind of crazy world do you live in? You think
I was sorely mistaken about hoping for something like that on music television. But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, the other documentary that I mentioned is this one I actually really like the sound of. You know the comedian Ramesh Ranganathan?
Yes, I do.
Right, he's Sri Lankan. And he's going back to Sri Lanka to visit the country. For the first time, he's going back because he hasn't been back in a while, right? And unfortunately for him, this is a documentary about his trip to Sri Lanka. And every single thing that he's going to do in Sri Lanka has been arranged by his mum. I reckon more people should have documentaries made where everything that they do in that documentary has been arranged by their mother, their father, or their grandparents or something like that. It would make the documentary so much weirder and so much funnier at the same time.
So, like, something like Ross Noble, like, their entire itinerary would just be like, get a haircut.
Yes. But yeah, Ramesh's return ticket is going to be on BBC later on this year. I actually really like the sound of this because I know, I know Sri Lankan culture is pretty similar in terms of the family values to most other Southeast Asian cultures.
Yes, it's quite matriarchal, isn't it?
Yes, and I know that if Ramesh's mother is involved in this, then I feel your pain, son. I feel your pain.
Well, yes, I don't. Well, I think like I've watched him, and he has made quite a few jokes about his mother.
Yes.
So, like for those jokes, this is going to be very interesting.
I
indeed.
Wouldn't put it past his mother to use this for a bit of vengeance. Would not put it past her at all.
Oh, she's definitely going to do that.
So yes, each episode is going to see Ramesh meet a distant Sri Lankan friend or relation. And Ranganathan will be expected to take part in traditional rituals and pull his weight in daily tasks. So a true Asian holiday back to the home country, where you aren't allowed to sit around doing nothing. You know, if there's rice to be harvested, you get your feet wet and muddy just like everybody else. Yeah. If there's a plough, then you better damn well pull, because the oxen don't come cheap. So yeah. Anyway, yes. Final bit of news before we take a quick look at what each of us has been watching. It's come to light that young people have been switching off television news in increasing numbers and turning to online sources instead. So the question is TV news then still relevant? Is it doing enough to stay relevant to young people?
I've got to say no. Literally, who waits, like, the entire day just to watch news on the TV? Like, you can go on Facebook and you've got news literally right there as soon as you open up the page.
Well, I mean, if you go to any news site, even just Google News, you can read news from all over the world on Google News. You know, you don't need to wait for it, it's there.
Yeah, no, but, like, what I meant is, like, with it, you don't even need to look for news. Like, the news comes to you now.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I mean, on my iPhone, I get BBC alerts on my iPhone. Whenever there's breaking news, I get like, the BBC, you know, they have the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
Yeah, you know, like sometimes I do watch news on TV, and like by the time I watch it, it's just like, yeah, this is stuff I've already known for hours now.
Well, I mean, my mum watches news on TV, and you know, by the time I'm finished and I get home, she says, "Oh, this happened on the news." I'm like, "Well, yeah, I know. Where did you find out? I read it online." Yeah. I've read it online usually before she's actually seen it on the news, because the news goes through their headlines and then through their human interest stories and their major pieces and their comedic pieces and stuff like that, and ends with the sport. And then you have to wait to half an hour for one second of news to finish just to get back to the original story that you wanted to know more about.
Yeah, I mean, I would say they should probably just abolish TV news, because like, it seems like the internet is a better fit for it, because you can get the news as it happens.
Not only that, you can get more diversity with the news.
Exactly. And you can look up the stories you want to know about.
I also find that a lot of news programs tend to try and push an agenda, even if it doesn't seem like it.
Oh, God, yes, they do. Like, there's
that's not to name names. Cough, Sky News, cough.
Cough, cough, BBC, cough. Oh, wait, is that riots happening in London? Oh, wait, they never happened. Ah! Yeah, no, they did.
There was a riot in London?
Yeah, you know, the whole anti... Oh, wait, you were making a joke.
Yes, I know.
God damn it. But no, like, it's like over in America, you got Fox News, and they're like...
Because Fox News doesn't lie at all.
And then actually, that's another thing. If we are going to keep TV news, let's just make it funny, like Fox News, with their ridiculous racism.
Well, don't forget, Birmingham is a little Islamic state.
Oh, yes, yeah, yes,
you can get beaten up there for being the wrong colour or the wrong religion.
What else is it they do on the... I mean, like, when they have arguments about, say, climate change, and they have one person who doesn't, like, believe in it, and then they have one scientist, it's like, that's not truly representative.
This, the thing this, is, yes, the scientists...
Everyone knows scientists are a hive mind. One of them represents all of them.
The scientist that they always choose is basically a scientist who no one's ever heard of.
See, the most popular one I found from, because I watched John Oliver last week tonight, is Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh God, yeah.
That's generally the scientists that get on to talk about whatever science is happening. But yeah, no.
I think that is like a Neil deGrasse Tyson as well, like the astronomer.
And it's just like, it's ridiculous because if you want, like John Oliver actually made a point of this on his show, where if you want to do it truly representative, you've had the one guy there and then 99 scientists making their point.
Yes.
Because that's generally what the proportion is. But, you know, viewers are getting, it's 50-50 because there's one guy and one guy.
Yes, therefore, like, this ignorant
it's never
guy
50-50, left. Though. This is what I don't like about these things. You know, what about the third option? I'm trying to remember. It was, a program that they used to do on the BBC, on BBC News, where they actually had three people. And they had, like, the one who was pro, the one who was hardcore against. And they did this for, like, a show about the Israel-Palestine, about the kind of, you know, the conflict that happened. They had one guy who was pro-Palestine, one guy who was really pro-Israeli, and then you had one guy who was basically middle of the road, and he was just kind of, he was basically looking at the whole thing objectively and was saying, well, look, you're both at fault. You know, you guys shouldn't be doing this, but you guys definitely have definitely overreacted and gone and done this. You guys are actually much worse in this situation because you've basically gone this far. But still, you guys, stop firing rockets. And it's like, where's that option in all of these other news shows? You know, you only get, like, black or white. Why can't we just have grey?
Very few arguments. You know, like,
why can't we have grey? And then what about the argument where I don't actually give a crap? I don't care about your poxy little problems. I have my own.
I feel like that doesn't make a great TV debate of, like, just going under, I don't know, I don't care.
No, seriously, they should just pull some guy in off the street, right, sit him down on this panel, just have him there, like, you know, a bit like Charlie Brooker. Find someone like Charlie Brooker. In fact, put Charlie Brooker on these panels and just have him go, why are you telling me this? I don't care.
And then he drops the mic and walks out.
Yes. Do you realise just how childish and stupid you sound right now? So, yes. I think that's how TV debates should be.
Yes, just Charlie Brooker shuts everyone down.
You know, they do the debates for the general election. Next, in 5 years' time, they'll do the leaders' debate again. But the person hosting should be someone like Charlie Brooker.
Yes. Yeah, I'm tired of people being really nice to them.
Yeah, I'm tired of it as well, because, I mean, at the end of the day, they don't work for the government. They work for us.
Yeah. I wish they would remember that, you know, as they vilify and
it's a privilege
destroy.
To be working. No, it's a privilege to be working for the British public. Not a God-given right. But yeah, I think Charlie Brooker, somebody who's mean and nasty, and you know, just doesn't take any prisoners, and not Paxman, because Paxman is, you know, he's.
Well, yeah, he's just pointlessly aggressive now.
Yeah, he's gone very passive-aggressive as well. Have you noticed?
Yeah, he has. He's really like 16-year-old schoolgirl mean now.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of ridiculous. Whereas Charlie Brooker still tries to be funny with it. So, yeah. Or maybe Dave Gorman. Dave Gorman being an interesting one to host the leaders' debate.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Because he's like stupidly intelligent and he'd run rings around them all. And he's really, really knowledgeable about it. He knows his stuff.
And if you wanted to just make no sense at all, get Russell Brand to host it.
No.
It'll make no sense.
No. You don't want Russell Brand hosting it. You want him actually as one of the leaders.
No, we don't. We want him locked in a box and like shoved at the bottom of the ocean.
If you don't want it to make sense, you get Ross Noble.
Okay, yeah.
You get Russ Noble there.
As he goes around to every single person and says, right, every time you want to answer a question, you have to pull on this string which lifts the meat from your face.
Yes, basically.
Yeah.
Him and his Geordie accent. So, yes, anyway. So, that was the news. What have we been watching?
Television shows.
Yes, yes, we have been watching television shows.
Okay, so I have this week been watching Hannibal.
Ooh.
Yes, the third series of that started on Sky Living last week. It's on Wednesdays, I think, 10 p.m.-ish. Anyway, it's such an amazing series. It's basically maybe a prequel, maybe its own continuity to kind of the Hannibal book series.
Yeah.
Because like that's something the creator's been a bit vague about, just so you never know what's going to happen. And it basically just follows Hannibal as he Hannibal's about, doing Hannibal-y things. And yes, Hannibal, he's played by Mads Mikkelsen, who is just doing such an amazing job of it.
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen's been doing... he's really underrated as an actor.
Yeah, like, I'm actually going to go out there and say Mads Mikkelsen, he's a better Hannibal than Anthony Hopkins.
Ooh, that's quite a bold statement.
Yeah, yeah, because he's just... he's so sinister. And, like, you can never quite tell what's going on in his mind. Because, yeah, I've heard a lot of comparisons kind of comparing him to a shark.
Wow, really? Yeah.
That is an interesting comparison.
And it's like, it's weird, but like, if you watch the show, you can kind of see it.
I might
like,
have to check
that out. He's always got like this predatorial gaze going on. It's just, it's so clever. Like, even just to look at it, it's such an amazing thing to look at, because every scene is like filled with all these amazing details. Like, I think one of my favourite things from like the past two series is Hannibal's got like his own office, and in that office is a bonsai tree. But it's like, it's really massive and overgrown. And like, it's actually all to do with kind of this ancient Japanese legend that bonsai trees kind of feed off people's emotions. It's like, for a good person, the bonsai tree will remain small. Like, if a person is evil, it will grow out and become massive. And it's just, that's just a thing that's in the background. Like, I think just from this episode now, one of these amazing references is like, Hannibal's eating a meal. And it's like this little pie thing, and just off to the side is like the pastry, and it's in the shape of like the Hannibal face mask. Mm. It's just like, that's literally like a second long shot, and it's just, it's amazing how all these little tiny details keep getting fed in.
Mm.
So yeah, Hannibal, I am a huge fan.
Fantastic.
Also, Gillian Anderson is in it now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, another reason to watch it.
Yeah.
How about you then, Craig?
Well, there's a couple of things. One's like a 5-minute long thing, which was Matt Berry's take on Father's Day, which is just hugely funny.
It's Matt Berry.
Yeah.
Did you know he was in a Community episode?
He was in a what now?
An episode of Community.
Yes. He played like a grifter.
Yeah.
It's just too good. But yeah, that was really funny. I recommend watching it if you've got a spare 5 minutes. It's on iPlayer, which is where I watch most of my TV. Another thing actually is Nick Helm's Heavy Entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's just finished now, or it finished last week. But I tend to rewatch them because you never get it all in one go. Well, I don't anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's so explosive and out there, and he's just so funny. Like, it's a really interesting sort of... it's like a comedy show mixed with a document, like a mockumentary type thing, where things are happening in the background, you get to see those, and he goes into a show again, and sings his songs and just acts crazy. Normally gets some degree of naked, but that's not why I watch. It's
really?
It's like, yeah, a Nick really? Helm scale of nudity.
It was, yeah, it's like just down to the pants, generally, and freaking out the audience. And I just like how he starts the show every time. Just so loud, and do you like jokes?
Yeah.
You know, that thing. So that's what I've been... oh, and I've been kind of binge-watching House again, because...
There's House. Nothing wrong with binge-watching House.
Yeah, but, like, the best part of 5 entire seasons in about a week and a half.
Well, it's fine. It's just, it's giving you training to become a doctor.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, now I know, like, whatever illness someone has, it's definitely not lupus.
Exactly.
You also know that Vicodin is like candy.
Yes. Yes, it is.
delicious Vicodin.
Yeah, I haven't been watching anything new. I've actually been watching something old recently. I started watching it kind of on and off on CBS Action, and then I thought, this is going too slow for me, and so I decided to just marathon the entire thing again. Andromeda. Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda.
I never really got into Andromeda.
It's difficult to get into at first. See, there's a weird story. Well, there's lots of weird stories about Andromeda. The first weird story is that when Gene Roddenberry went to the show that Gene Roddenberry wanted to make wasn't Star Trek. It was actually Andromeda. That was his original idea. It evolved and changed into Star Trek after he'd originally pitched Andromeda to the networks, and they wouldn't take it. So he changed it, and eventually it became Star Trek, which is supposedly like a devolved version of Andromeda. And the version of Andromeda that we're watching now is not the version that Gene Roddenberry wanted either, but it's closer to it than Star Trek is. Story of Andromeda, basically there's the Commonwealth of Worlds that is like a force for good, just like the old Jedi thing. And then they're betrayed by a race called the Nietzscheans, who have this whole man-superman complex type thing. And the Nietzscheans...
Oh, the Nietzscheans.
Yes, they follow the...
The Nietzscheans.
Yes, yes.
And they believe in the man-superman thing.
Well, they have this whole kind of man-superman type code. And they're all warriors and stuff like that. So yeah, it's purposeful naming thing. So yes, they're betrayed by the Nietzscheans, and Dylan Hunt and his ship are trapped on the event horizon of a black hole for 300 years. Eventually, a group of salvagers led by Becca Valentine pull the Andromeda Ascendant out of the event horizon, but in doing so they restart time for Dylan because he's been frozen in time. And when they break into his ship, he basically goes on the attack against them. And one of Becca's hired muscle is a Nietzschean called Tyr Anasazi, who is actually quite cool. Andromeda and Dylan decide to rebuild the Commonwealth after they find that the Commonwealth was basically destroyed by the Nietzscheans. So they decide to go out and see if anybody is willing to join Dylan's new Commonwealth and kind of bring order to things again. And it was all well and good. It was going so well. All the way up till about two-thirds of the way through season three. And then it got weird. Because I think it was a halfway point of season three. The main writer actually quit and left.
Yeah, that's never a good start.
Right, and then they had somebody else in, and because they wanted to stamp their own mark on it, suddenly you have cosmic cubes and the path and the route of ages. Let me make that clear. You bloody Americans and your pronunciation and Kevin Sorbo, disappointed! Do you guys not remember that?
I don't remember that. No.
It's from Hercules. It's when Hercules ends up like in an alternate reality.
Oh God, I haven't seen Hercules in like many years.
It's from Hercules. It's when Hercules ended up in a different reality, and the director was telling him, you know, you need more emotion when you say it, because he said, well, that's disappointing, and the director's like, no, more emotion, more emotion. And he went, disappointed. But yeah, one of the reasons I actually quite like Andromeda is the dialogue is actually really quite good for a sci-fi series, which is unusual, because sci-fi tends to be quite heavy with the semantics and stuff like that.
Yes, we have to use the blog and flagging to unschool the blogger to Google.
Yeah, and the characters, because the actors are actually chosen quite well, and so they become likable. You know, I quite like the characters in Andromeda. And I quite like the fact that by the end of it, it's a bit like Farscape, in that they are family more than they are just, you know, colleagues and stuff like that. But I also like the... what's the word I'm looking for? I like the sentiment that it's a lot about the adventure. I just don't like all the wibbliness that happened right at the end. It was just kind of... I have no idea what's going on now. someone just kind of explain. So, hang on. You have this thing called the Abyss, which is controlling the Magog, and the Abyss is basically the enemy of everything that exists because it is basically like entropy and stuff like that, which is fine. But then you have Trans-Gemini, who's actually the oldest son in the universe. I don't get this. What? How is she a son? She's on board my ship. What's going on? You know, surely a sun is like a big, giant ball of, like, you know, hydrogen and helium in constant fusion and fission. But she's, like, there, and she's, you know, quite a cute woman, and she's standing there.
Words are coming out of your mouth, and I don't know what's happening. I'm scared.
I don't know what's happening at that point either. All I know is that Trans used to be a donkey girl, but now she's a sun.
This isn't helping the snap. Can we just move on from your strange, strange space ramblings?
Yes. I think it's best to. If you want to know more about Andromeda, please watch it. Oh, the other thing I like is the meta bits. There's one scene where the ship's been invaded, and they're looking for weapons, and they're in, like, Dylan's, one of Dylan's conference room type things. He pulls up in this panel, and he's like, oh, I've got weapons in here. He pulls up in this panel, and the first thing he pulls out is a sword and a wig. And everyone's looking at him like, what the hell's that from? He's like, ah, long story. Puts it to one side because it's wig and his sword from Hercules. You know, so I like the little nods that they do like that to what people have been in before.
Yeah, so, that's right. I might have to try and give it another shot one time.
It starts off slow. The first series is all kind of, it's all seriousness and, you know, Star Trek The Next Generation kind of seriousness. But once it gets to the second season, they start having more fun with it, and then they just go bat out of hell crazy in the third season. And it all goes very, 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 very Hawaiian by the end.
Hawaiian?
Yeah, it's normally very Russian, but we've bypassed Russia entirely and ended up in the middle of the Pacific. Right, so, yes, that's what I've been watching. So, yes, we're going to end the show with a little bit of a discussion, because we did bring this up earlier on in the show. E3 is happening right now. It's a major event in the world. It's a thing in the world, and it's a big thing in the world. And what was it you were saying? Twitch channels?
Oh, yeah. I checked just now, and there was 40,000 people watching in just the top three channels.
And there's about 100 channels.
All covering stuff on.
I mean, you've got YouTube chat. YouTube itself,
yeah,
is covering.
That's just Twitch. Obviously, there's YouTube, IGN, and all the other people that have got live streams going on that people are tuning into.
Yeah, I mean, basically, there's millions of people around the world watching this right now.
Yeah.
The question I've got is, why aren't events like E3 and other major events, you know, maybe not related to video games, but other major events like that, why aren't they covered more on TV? Because that's where you want to see them. You want to be able to sit there on your couch with your TV on, maybe watch the Sony press conference or the Microsoft press conference or the Nintendo press conference, and just sit there, you know, not in front of a laptop or something like that, but actually watch it on a proper screen.
Yeah, especially because I think this is what TVs have the edge in, because I know a lot of TV viewership has been lost, like, towards streaming services.
Yes.
But what they can't offer is, like, the kind of the big sort of event viewing that you can do, so that you can get some friends over, like, make a thing of it.
Sky tried to do it with their music events, but the thing is, it's pointless doing it with music events because people don't want to watch a music event on their TV.
Yeah,
they
want
to watch it live.
Music events live, but stuff like E3, you can watch on TV.
You say that. They did at Twitch, signed a partnership with someone, I can't remember who it was, and they streamed a live music event over a few days. They had hundreds of thousands of people watching
time. It does work, don't get me wrong, but it's once you've watched one of them, you kind of lose the magic.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't really compensate for being at the event itself. But yeah, I mean, there's other events. I mean, right now, Literature Festival was going on, and BBC were giving loads of coverage to it, and it just struck me that they give coverage to Hayes, which has far less of a following than E3, and they basically have E3 on click, and that's it.
I think a big problem is people aren't old enough yet to be in network executive positions, like, you know, top of the thing, channel sort of thing. So, like, they still sort of have, like, a stigma around them where it's like, ah, video games for kids. Why would we give this primetime slot?
Yeah, adults don't play video games.
But the thing is,
the network executives shouldn't even be thinking about it in those terms. They should just be looking at it in terms of pure numbers. Okay, there's this many people watching this event. Why aren't we covering this event?
They should, but they don't.
You know, that's what network executives have always done, is just look at it in pure numerical figures. How much of a rating do we have? How much of the audience do we have?
I mean, the other thing is they try and stream stuff like, they've tried putting professional esports events,
yeah,
and they don't get viewership at all, but they put them on sports channels.
Yeah, which only very select few fans actually watch the sports channels.
Or even buy the package, because like if I bought Virgin TV, I would not opt in for the sports, because that's three channels I'm never going to watch.
Well, yeah, esports is not a real sport. Let me make that clear. I don't understand why it's on the sports channel in the first place.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, you know, don't get me wrong. There are some people who play esports professionally who take care of themselves and, you know, actually work out and condition their bodies and eat right and stuff like that. And that's all well and good.
Most of the proper professionals do.
But you are still just sitting there clicking a mouse. It's in. I put esports in the same category that I put darts
or chess.
Or chess. They are not real sports. Darts is not a sport. Have you seen the size of some of the guys who play darts?
I mean, it's not that long ago.
Oh, yeah, when they Phil the Power Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was not that long ago they actually stopped them drinking at events.
Yeah, you know? I know. It's ridiculous.
They used to get drunk and play darts.
Yeah.
That was the best bit.
I mean, yes, it does take skill to play darts, but if you can drink a pint at the same time, if you can drink a pint and throw the dart at the same time, which I've seen players do at these tournaments, it's not a sport, mate. Sorry. It's a pub game. That's what it is. So, yeah. Anyway, events like E3, there's loads of other events. I mean, there's little film festivals. South by Southwest, right? There's all these TED Talks going on all the time that have millions of views. You know, millions and millions of views. There was South by Southwest that happened earlier on this year. You know, loads of really famous, you know, technology companies there, and loads of kind of video game previews. Why hasn't that been covered? The Tokyo Game Show.
Big comic conventions, well, like,
well, I mean, yeah, Comic Con has how many people? There's Comic-Con in Japan. Comic-Con in Japan is the biggest of all. Right, Comic-Con in Japan is basically Comic-Con wants to be Comic-Con, but can't be Comic-Con.
Yeah, but that's like more for manga, isn't it?
Yeah, but here's the thing: Comic-Con is Comic-Con has something like 120,000 people, something like that, over the course of the weekend. Maybe 150,000 people. Comic-Con in the space of its weekend will get 500,000-600,000. That's the difference. But when you've got these big events, you don't see any coverage. If I was a news channel, if I was one of the major channels, I would immediately be looking at ways of raising my ratings by covering
especially
these.
Especially, like, I think the manga, I'm not sure how well manga does in this country, but seeing, like, with conventional Comic Cons, I've been to, like, there are thousands of people there. It's like, thinking, you know what, these people, they would probably watch it on TV if it was on TV.
Especially if they're going to be on TV.
Yeah. And like, especially the massive ones like in America that we can't go to.
I mean, yes,
this is a problem though. There's a big stigma still, even with advances behind geek culture.
Yeah,
we're still treated like dirt by everyone who's not one of us. But these are the same people that will go to the cinema and watch a Marvel film.
Yes,
and then be like, "Oh yeah, Marvel's really cool." So, but it's like when you actually get into it, there's still a lot of, like, everyone looks down on the sort of things that we enjoy, where all these big events are happening.
But I think the joke's on those people because it's such a huge industry
now. And the stupid thing is, TV is still pushing towards catering for the mass market.
But the mass market plays video games.
Exactly.
The mass market doesn't care.
I think the problem is that the mass market has stopped watching TV because it doesn't cater to them anymore.
Yeah, I've not owned a TV.
The mass market is not the market that watches Big Brother or Love Island or anything like that. You know, we don't watch reality TV. In fact, we don't like reality TV. It's that simple. So why are you continuing to make it? The answer they'll give is so that the people who, you know, who are still watching TV have something to watch. Well, no, you could get people watching TV if you started catering to them.
Yeah, like,
yeah, exactly. Forget about the people you want to keep. Think about all the people you could draw in instead.
Well, all they have to do is look at viewing figures for stuff like The Flash, Gotham, Game of Thrones.
It's the age-old argument I've been seeing in the anime industry for decades. We need to basically bring in new people to watch anime, and so and they always focus on the teenage audience. And I'm like, well, hang on. Where are the shows for the people who are 25-plus? Where are the more mature shows that tell the stories that we want to be told in anime? You know, the really imaginative, creative ones. You know, the things that we're not. We don't care about the high schools. We went through that. We don't really care now. You can just take the high schools and just push them to one side. You know, you've got some interesting shows that can come out of high schools, but generally, we don't care about the high schools. We don't care about the fan service or anything like that. We just want content that is designed for us and designed for a wider audience. But the industry itself, by its own admission, turns around and says, well, no, because these are going to be the future fans of the industry. You know, they're going to be the future fans and they're going to be buying the merchandise in the future. To which I say, well, yeah, but we're the ones who are going to be buying the merchandise now. You don't have a future unless you cater to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're fishing and they've got a huge net with like a hole in the back of it and they just keep trying to like add more net to the front.
Yeah, they keep trying. Well, the thing is, what they don't realise is they already caught the biggest fish of all, which is basically the market that I'm in, the over-25s market, because we have the disposable income to buy your overpriced products. Where's the teenager going to get the money? From their parents. And if they tell their parents what the money's for, do you think their parents are going to give them that money?
Well, that's the thing. They might now, because, like, your generation are the parents, and, like, you can market to them as well.
No, because if they've got a parent like me, then I know exactly what show they're watching, and they're going to be grounded if they're wanting merchandise based on that show.
I know, but, I mean, it's just that's such a huge lucrative market that they're missing.
Yeah, it is. But this is the thing. This comes back to what we've been talking about with... I mean, TV executives the world over are exactly the same. They don't think outside the box.
They're all old boys doing what they've always done.
Thing is, if you, they should
Wait,
just
so
go back.
All, like running down hallways with hammers, beating on Korean dudes.
Probably. You know, I mean, why do you think Coronation Street and EastEnders are still around?
Yeah, I mean,
their viewership must have tanked by now.
Oh yeah, God, must have done.
It has, but I mean, I don't understand why they're still so popular. I have enough misery in my life. I don't need more by watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And have you seen the new Jeremy Kyle show? Emergency Room? My God. Somebody needs to just take that man and leave him on a desert island somewhere. I'll just maroon him on an asteroid. You know, it wasn't enough that he had a talk show that basically just was misery porn. He's now got Emergency
like,
Room.
I can almost understand that kind of show because, like, as you said, it's misery porn.
Yeah, but the thing is,
with the soap operas, you're meant to care about these characters, but no, you know terrible things are going to happen to
no,
you.
No, Jeremy Kyle has got worse. And I never thought that was possible because
but
he is
what?
Evil incarnate.
Like, has he summoned his great master Satan now?
His new show, Emergency Room, he has real doctors and he has real patients with various conditions. And he's basically interviewing them while they make decisions about whether they should cut it off or not. You know, like a leg
what?
And stuff like that.
Jesus Christ, that's awful.
And somebody thought this was a good idea.
I'm tempted right now to just say I'm done and walk out.
Yeah.
TV's bad. Get yourself a nice little streaming box. Just quit TV.
Yes.
We need to show them that we don't want it.
I mean, the simple fact is, there are people who are stupid enough to sit there and watch this stuff and say, oh, you know, I like Jeremy Kyle. No, I don't like Jeremy Kyle. I want to punch him in the face, him and his smug grin, which is a separate entity to himself. I know, I've seen it detach itself from him. His misery guts.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a picture of him. most insane thing is the way, like, he tries to justify it. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm helping people.
No, you're not.
No.
You were stroking your own ego. It's like the big... Jeremy Kyle has the biggest self-masturbation session on TV.
Can we leave that bit in?
Yes, that's staying in.
Good, because... Yeah. Jeremy.
I'm happy to leave that in. I don't like him at all.
No, he's...
Him and the horse he rode in on.
The whole show, and all shows like it, the, you know, the misery porn, the poor porn that they have, yeah, for Benefit, yeah, Street.
Benefit Street, for Channel 5 have got their own version of Benefit Street now.
Yeah, it's all literally rich people telling people with bits of money and jobs that people without jobs are scum.
Yeah, because, like, all the network executives, like, these old white guys were like, oh, gosh, I hate these scummy poor people.
So they're all Jeremy Clarkson?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
except
basically.
Worse, because they've got power and you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
At least with Clarkson, you can put a name and a face to it and go, you're a massive expletive.
You're a massive tool. Let me swing you around and hit this nail.
But with these network execs, like, we were literally just using the term network executives because we don't know who they are.
I know a couple.
And it's just...
If they listen to this show, I'll probably got to punch me because they're really nice guys, actually.
Well, you get your exception and who let things through.
Yeah.
You know, like,
plus, I think the fact, like, they know you probably makes them an exception. Like, Charlie, at least part of the geeky world.
But, yes. You know, BBC does some good stuff, like Charlie Brooker's Newswipe and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Channel 4 did some good stuff with...
But have you noticed with BBC 3, BBC used to do some good stuff with BBC 3, but it's gone down the route...
I don't even watch anything on BBC 3.
Yeah, well, I mean, BBC 3 is just kind of, you know, it's just gone down to the level of Son, Suspicious Parents and Sex and whatever it's called.
Yeah, I think the main problem is, even like with the good stuff, they're too afraid to commit to it.
Yeah.
So, like, it either has to exceed, like, all expectations ever set in, like, the history of humankind, or it gets cancelled.
It's one of the reasons why BBC kept perpetually putting out Family Guy, even though Family Guy had just gone awful.
It's just a known quantity.
Yeah. I honestly think the future is going to be in events like E3, events like the Tokyo Game Show, South by Southwest, the Consumer Electronics Show, the biggest electronic show in the world. Why isn't that on TV?
Well, to be fair, I think that TV is in what
one,
you get across the
one
boxes
half hour
and you pay
program.
A subscription for. Yes. I think they're just going to... die.
Well, the thing is, BBC...
Yeah, well, they are dying now.
I mean, because it's on on-demand services now, and you can still get live stuff through these on-demand. I mean, exactly. I can watch Twitch on my Fire Stick, which is live, so I could have watched the live E3 press conferences in my front room.
Yeah, and this is the annoying thing. The terrestrial the normal channels, the BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5, even Sky, they're all missing out big time on what is right in front of them.
Of course they are.
Right. Anyway, on that note, we are unfortunately at the end of the show. Sorry about the slightly ranty end, but it does kind of annoy us.
Yeah. Plus, you're listening to On the Box. What did you expect? We rant.
Yes, we rave, and we want change in TV. We want our shows.
We want them now.
Bring back the
on demand.
Yes.
And live streaming, because Twitch Plays Pokemon apparently got 100,000 people at one point.
Yeah, I'm not such a big fan of Twitch Plays Pokemon.
But the fact that it's got like 100,000 people.
Yeah, it was an option.
Yes, the fact that it's an option I'm fine with, you know. Why don't Twitch just start their own terrestrial channel?
That would
be a good idea.
Yeah, it costs lots of money, that's probably the problem.
Yeah, I know, and there's all sorts of licenses. Anyway, we're going to have to love you and leave you there. I have been Rob.
I've been Craig.
And I've been Andrew.
And we'll see you all next week with more TV news and discussions. So until then, take care and have fun and be careful what you watch on TV.